This is PG Holyfield, and I want to welcome everyone to this special edition of Murder at Avedon Hill. Episode 1 of Murder at Avedon Hill, which will be the prologue and chapter 1 of the novel, will actually be dropping into the feed later this week. But last Thursday, I had an opportunity to speak to J.C. Hutchins, author of Seventh Son, Book 1, Descent, and Book 2, Deceit, and wanted to put this into a feed early so that everyone would get a chance to listen to it. J.C. is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, as I've stated before, that I'm doing this, and he is one of the best guys that ever had the chance to meet, and had a great discussion with him about his novels, about podcasting, about his studio setup, and also got the opportunity to speak to the clones. So again, hope you enjoy it. My interview with J.C. Hutchins. I am good. I am done with my second draft of the novel, and
holy shit!
Yep, I got a got a proof copy from Lulu about 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations, man! Congratulations.
Yeah, it was it's a pretty powerful thing when you get that first copy, even though it's self-published and
hey, look,
got in
man,
your hands. And
I know, I'm with you. Don't fret not. I mean, I tell you, I did this contest with Scott was Share the Pain, and one
right,
of the prizes
right.
was, and and I formatted book one and sent it off to Lulu, and I got it back. And man, I mean, even though it wasn't quote real, because I wasn't gunning for publishing via Lulu, I was, damn, that was cool.
I will go ahead and get started then. Good evening, everybody, and while preparing for the start of the Murder at Avedon Hill podcast, I wanted to give subscribers something special in the feed, and as such, it is my great privilege and pleasure to have a few minutes with J.C. Hutchins, author of Seventh Son. Right now, J.C. is on a worldwide whirlwind of an interview tour, attempting to get 50 interviews on 50 podcasts, at least one in all 50 states. And as I understand it, you're coming right down to the end. So how was the tally going for you?
Well, PG, first off, thanks for having me on your podcast. I am a huge PG Holyfield fan. I've been geeking out. I have been waiting for Murder on Avedon Hill for, God, since long before even Dragon Con. That's where we first met. So I'm just tickled to see that it's actually happening for you. And I can't wait to listen and enjoy it.
Well, thank you so much. Cause I mean, you were the first interview I ever had. I was doing interviews at Dragon Con Monkey, and then I interviewed you as well for the Nana Monkeys when we did the little writing podcast for NaNoWriMo.
So and that's right. And from a lowly harping monkey course to a future power player in patio books, sir.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yep. That's the plan, man.
Yeah, well, don't worry. That's going to happen. And you were mentioning this 50-50-50 tour that I'm on. Yeah, I'm things have kind of crept up and some really kind of interesting professional developments have come up in my life over the past few weeks. And so I've had to kind of cut the 50-50-50 tour short. This is probably I'm in the low 50s for number of interviews on podcasts, which is awesome. But I don't think that I'm going to get close to hitting the 50 states part, which was the really ambitious part of this.
Right.
I think that I'll have about, more than likely, I have about 30 states represented all told, with a lot of doubling up in states such as California, New Jersey, New York, that sort of thing.
Well, you are the king. You and Scott are the king of marketing, and I just thought this was a great idea you were doing to prepare for July 7th, which is the 7707, which is the perfect date for the start of the third Seventh Son novel.
It is a lucky time for me to be podcasting, sir.
So have you, I'm sure you get asked all the same questions in these interviews, but have you released the name or decided on that final name for the third book yet?
Well, the name has been decided. The name was decided long before book two was even released. But I have to be, and I'm so, I'm sorry. I have to be coy and say that I'm not divulging it. I have had all kinds of things waved under my nose as bribes to divulge the name. In fact, one person said DeLorean.
I know. I was thinking, you got Descent, you got Deceit. Let's see. You got Denial, Destruction, DeLouse, DeLouise. So
that's what it is.
Does it at least start with a D?
I can't confirm that. I cannot confirm the first letter or the first syllable. I mean, it could be Seven Son the Zebra. I can't say.
Yeah, you sound like a press secretary at the White House.
That's.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yes. That's right.
Well, one of the things I want to talk to you before we get into the interview too deep is, as a starting podcaster here doing my audio book, I did have a question about your recording setup. I don't know if I've heard that before in an interview. We've heard about Scott with the blanket over his head and in the closet.
Right.
So I was wondering, do you work in your home, and what type of equipment do you use?
Yeah. Well, I'll kind of tell you. I mean, my setup hasn't changed since early 2006 when I threw together my kit, and my setup hasn't moved from the room in which I podcast since then either. I live in an apartment, and we are using the second bedroom in the apartment as kind of like a den and library. Library is such an ambitious word, but basically, you know, we've got one wall dedicated to, you know, $30 bookshelves filled with comic books and chiclet and DVDs and stuff. Anyway, and you know, that's one wall, but the rest of it's, you know, pretty sparsely furnished, you know, a table over here, a desk over there, that sort of thing. And that's where I record. What am I using to record with is really basic shoestring budget stuff. I'm not going to say that, you know, $100 to $110 is cheap, because it's not. That's $110, man. But for me, it was enough to invest in a Behringer UB-1002 mixer. That's an analog mixer.
Right.
I actually wanted to buy the 802, but the vendor didn't have it in stock, and so he gave me the upgrade, the step up on the food chain for the same price. He didn't want to lose the sale, so that was cool. And that's all going into an MXL 990, which is, you know, a podcaster's friend. It's the old standby. And all that's being piped into my Mac Mini, my Macintosh Mini, and using GarageBand. So for, you know, for less than $150, I got a pretty good deal. And you know what? While the sound quality isn't truly studio quality, because I can hear flaws in the recording from time to time, no one seems to complain, and the price is right, certainly. It's free.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's kind of my take on it. And as long as that I'll keep using this rig.
Very good. Yeah, I did upgrade recently, got a Xenix mixer, and I got an MXL mic, and it definitely improves the sound, you know, 100%, but it also picks up the lawnmowers three houses down.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, well, the first time I plugged in my mic and put on my headphones and did all the mixer thing, I turned it on, and I heard this strange shoo, shoo, shoo. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I turn around, and it's my, across the room, my cat was licking his paw.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, that was pretty intense. That kind of blew me away.
So your setup that you have you have your settings on your mixer, and you basically never touch them.
Oh, yeah. I've even got lines drawn on where the knobs are so that if I ever bump it up, turn the knobs back too. You know, I'd love to say that I'm a pro at this. I'm not, but I've done everything. But I did a lot of like heavy lifting in the front end to make sure that the sound that I was piping out was satisfactory to me.
One of the things wanted to ask you about is the songs that you've chosen for your podcast have been incredible. Do you have another new song for the third novel?
Yeah, it's a brand new song. We haven't heard it before. And again, much like the title, I'm being real coy about it.
Oh, that's fine.
But one of the things, as you probably reckon, and I think a lot of folks who are kind of savvy to this know that, you know, there's a direct connection between the kind of music I'm using as the anthems for my books and the mood of and the title of the book. And
right.
And for me, you know, when I discovered this sound, I thought to myself, it matches the title perfectly. I just got to stress that. And it certainly matches the all hell breaking loose in the novel that's going to go down in book three.
Oh, man. Can't wait. Are you done with the recording, or do you do it as you go? Do you get four or five episodes ahead? How does that work for you?
Well, the only time I've ever been ahead was when I recorded the first five episodes of my podcast of book one so that I could get on patiobooks.com. That's kind of like it's a really cool kind of, price of admission for a podcast novelist to get on patiobooks.com,
right,
is to have at least five episodes in the can. And that's how it was with me. And ever since, life and the podcast have been and I've been feeding the beast weekly. What I'm trying to do with book three is record as much of it, if not all of it, during next month, during the month of June, because we're recording this in late May, to get as much in the can as I can, so those hours and hours and hours that I dedicate to recording and editing the podcast during my weekends, for instance, will be free for writing and other projects.
And when we talked last, which was in November for the Nano Monkeys podcast, we were talking about some of the ideas that you had for your next novel, one being about the idea of a meme. The meme.
Meme rocks.
And is that still your hopeful next,
oh boy,
next work, or do you have have the spiders taken over your mind again? Geez, or?
No, something. You know, I gotta be real careful about what I'm about here. Is that something has come up, and meme is not my next project.
Okay.
And neither are the spiders either, as much as I love them. I have to be real careful about this. I think that the contract is either going to be signed today or tomorrow. So this is the real deal. I will be doing a new novel. I'll be co-authoring a novel and working with an entertainment company to release a brand new kind of project in 2008 in a mainstream release. I can't say anything more about it unless they sue me and dump me in the ocean somewhere.
That's a nice problem to have.
It's an embarrassment.
News.
It's an embarrassment of riches. I'm thrilled about it, and I cannot stress enough that this would never have happened if I hadn't released my work as a podcast novel, but more important, if Seventh Son fans weren't so cool and were spreading the Seventh Son meme across the internet. So, as always, I'm always thanking my listeners, and here's another example of that.
Well, this is a great week then, because we heard from Scott about the movie option for Infested.
Yeah.
And now this news, which is just wonderful to hear, and couldn't happen to a better author or a greater guy. So,
dude, well,
congratulations.
Thank you. Well, thanks a lot, and I'm sure that we'll be saying the same things about Avedon Hill very soon.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm not messing around.
I know.
We were walking around in the streets of Atlanta last summer, and you were telling me about the book and the premise and the fantastic elements that are going to be in there, and I thought to myself, a fantasy murder mystery? This is going to kick so much ass.
Well, you're going to be getting a copy of the book soon, and
Only if I can buy it. No, you need to be making money off your work. I will buy a copy, happily.
Thank you so much. Well, as a special thing here that we wanted to do, JC has agreed to step aside and possibly allow the clones just a few minutes, a little time in the limelight for the clones, so I can ask them a couple questions. Is that still okay? Are the clones out there that I might be able to speak to?
Well, I don't know. I've got some people behind me. They've been tapping me on the shoulder. They're interested in chatting. So
one of them's
kind of a smelly man who is pressing his large belly. Get out of the way, Hutchins. Gilroy 2.0 wants to spread his gospel with the listeners of P.G. Holyfield's podcast. Jeez, Kilroy, get the hell out of here. Okay, all right. So, yeah, they're pretty hungry to talk.
Good. Well, Kilroy, I've got a question for you, but I wanted to save that. Let some of your brethren speak
if you
can.
Save the best for last.
Absolutely. PG. And so if John is there, I was wondering if I might be able to speak to him. John being the, for those, the 12 people that might not have listed Seventh Son so far, John is the one of the clones, the seven clones in the Seventh Son. He's a gifted musician. He's sort of the everyman of Seventh Son, and he's the clone that's the primary voice of the novels. John, are you there?
I'm here, and it's great to be here.
Well, I'm glad to, you know, with all the running around you guys are doing, that you have a few minutes to chat and just maybe, you know, relax for a minute. So
yeah, it's really weird not being in someone's iPod.
Now, John, you seem to be the anomaly within your family, you know, being that you clearly chose a different path than the program designed for you to travel. It seemed like they wanted you to go into the sciences, and seems like you're really your own man. And why do you think this happened?
Well, you know, Peachy, I don't really know. I can't say for sure, but I've learned over the years working in construction and playing gigs and doing whatever I was doing as I traveled the country, that people are people, okay? And they are who they are. The harder you push someone on something, the more likely they are to push you back, you know? I mean, for instance, talking heads on TV, you know, political debates, religion, talks about sex and all that stuff, I don't really think that anything really happens once the arguing starts going there. I mean, people have already made up their minds before they even get into those debates. And it's all just about shouting for me. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's the same thing for, you know, shoving someone down a career path. If they don't want to go down the career path, if they don't want to do the whole, you know, get a college diploma thing, they're not going to do it. They may not consciously resist that. They may not consciously rebel against that, but the to kind of give the system the finger and do their own thing. And that's what I did. I mean, this sounds so strange when I look at my brothers here, and you know, you've got Dr. Mike, who, you know, has got a lot of book learning in him, and you got Kilroy 2.0, who was graduate of MIT. And here I am saying that classrooms aren't my thing, but they never really were. I dropped out of college and did what I wanted to do. It was what I was compelled to do. I guess I pushed back because they were pushing me. That's really it. I've been marching to the beat of my own drum ever since.
Well, this sort of leads into Michael's question, if Michael's there.
Yeah, I'm here, PG.
Okay, Michael. Now, you were raised in an environment where you pretty much had to fight just to reach adulthood. You ended up going into the military, becoming a special forces operative. Do you feel like you were pushed towards that on purpose, or do you feel like that was a choice for you that you took?
You know, I don't know. I'm not one for navel gazing, PG. Life brought me here. How much of it was me and how much of it was climbing in Seventh Son, I don't know. But does it really matter? Does it matter for me or for anybody? Let me tell you about myself. I graduated from high school and I got in with a really bad scene. I did some stuff for some black-hearted bastards, man. I worked for the mob, okay? I worked for men who your nightmares would have nightmares about. I did the job. I brought them back fingers, teeth, ears, whatever these guys paid me to bring back. That's what I did. It does something to you, but you can kind of come back from that. You can learn to forgive yourself. You can learn to love if you're lucky enough to find it. That's where I am right now. I'm not proud of everything that I've done, PG, but I'm proud of who I am now. But what I'm getting at is this. I needed those low points in my life to appreciate the high points. I needed those past experiences because they brought me here. We're all like that. We're a collection of happy accidents. We're exactly where we need to be. That's where we're supposed to be, and that's why we're all warriors in our own way. And what's with all this navel-gazing that I said I wasn't going to do?
Well, speaking of the faith that you're talking about here, I was wondering if Father Thomas might be there.
Father Thomas is here, PG Holyfield.
Hi, Father Thomas. And
I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you, PG. Praying for the success of your podcast.
Oh, thank you, Father. I appreciate that very much. And I hope that, you know, you may not be, you know, Michael, but
you... church there in North Carolina?
Excuse me?
I said, have you found a good Catholic church there in North Carolina?
There are a lot of good Catholic churches here. I don't attend any of them, but I actually used to go to Catholic church when I was in college because that was the closest place of worship, and they also had Saturday afternoon services, so, you know, the Sunday morning services in college really didn't play into the lifestyle that, you know, most of us led.
Well, PG, you're right, and you know what, I mean, the Catholic faith is really trying to be a faith about convenience, and so I'm glad that we hooked you up with that Saturday service.
The realization, getting to your question, you are, you know, a clone, it did seem to hit you the hardest. You had a crisis of faith, and you know, now that you are on this short break and you've had some time to think about things, I did want to ask, do you feel like this experiment and the way that this happens, do you think that there is a chance that you could still have a soul? I mean, even though your birth was designed, it still was a beginning, and could it allow for the possibility of God's hand in your creation?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the problem. That's been the problem from the very beginning. I mean, I believe in God, but I don't know if God believes in me. Being a clone isn't the problem here. If you take a human clone and you pull them out of a jar and you raise that person on their as a normal person, I don't think that there's going to be an issue with a soul there. But it's the fact that the foundations of my personality and my consciousness and my memories is an exact duplicate of someone else's, John Alpha's. I mean, if we're the sum of our memories, then the first 14 years of my life, they belong to someone else. I'm also really hung up on the realization that, you know, my faith, a faith of convenience for you, PG, says that a soul is imparted upon conception. But there was no conception with me. My body and my memories are not original things. They're manufactured things. And does that mean that I was conceived in the eyes of God? I've been praying. I've been asking. He hasn't been returning my... I'm certain that we can go around and around and around about this, and I know that J.C. Hutchins has received a lot of email and interest about this topic from his listeners, but for me personally, I've been reeling from this, and my reactions at this point are still the very raw and immediate emotional reactions. I don't know, but I do know that God doesn't present us with obstacles that we can't overcome, and I believe that, so maybe, you know, maybe there's soulless in that. I just don't know.
Well, one thing I can tell you is that if it's a question of good or evil or a question of morality, that the actions that you've taken during your life certainly lend themselves to having a soul. And because of the choices you've made, I would think that, you know, a soulless person would not be in the position you're in.
Well, I really appreciate that, PG. I think I got the raw deal. If anyone doesn't have is a soulless guy, it's John. So
absolutely. Well, Kilroy, are you still there? Or are you?
Get out of my way, Thomas. PG, big fan of your podcast.
Thanks, man. I'm a big fan of yours as well, man.
Thanks a lot.
You know,
what can I do for you?
You know, there's a whole condition for all the podcasters that have been imitating you.
I heard you.
I tell you. Right.
you're very good at what I do over here. And I really enjoyed that public service announcement you made on my behalf.
Well, it was my pleasure. And, Kilroy, the question I had for you is that when we're first introduced to you, you seem to be pretty much a train wreck.
Hang on a second. Wait a minute, man. I'm IMing with Binary Fairy. One more minute. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. JC pretty much just didn't give you a very good lead-in to the novel. You're pretty much a train wreck. You're about as far removed from the other clones as one can get, representing all its chaos in the world. Now, while John seems to be the wild card of the group, your predisposition for chaos, you've caused some problems for John Alpha as well during these two novels.
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel like you've gotten to this point in your life? Do you feel it was something ingrained in your DNA, or just your experiences led you to and shaped you to where you are today?
PG Holyfield. I want to first say that J.C. Hutchins is a no-good, baby-faced hack who couldn't code his way out of a wet paper bag. I am not a train wreck. I am Kilroy 2.0, a prophet, P.G. Holyfield. I give my orders to my flock of thousands, and they comply. P.G. Holyfield, do you comply?
I always comply to anything you say.
Damn right,
Kilroy.
You're Kilroy's bitch. I don't think about my life as a pedestrian. That was my life before, PG. I was reborn years ago. I was brought here to share my conspiracy theories with the world. It's not DNA that brought me here. It was not my experiences that brought me here. That was from before. I was chosen for this. The walls spoke to me. They chose me. I can be in every PC, every laptop, every Palm Pilot, every IM conversation. I can hack, slash, and burn my way through routers and firewalls and secure connections. I'm the obtainer of information. I am the hoarder of information.
Oh, crap.
The deliverer of information.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no!
Oh, no.
No.
Gilroy, you're messing up my line here. Are you hacking into my computer?
I am here. I am everywhere.
Oh, God. I'm losing the connection. Well, I think we lost our signal here with Kilroy. JC, are you still there?
Yeah, they both, all my clones back here, they just kind of mysteriously vanished into the ether. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do a virus scan.
Undoubtedly.
Well, JC, I just wanted to thank you for your time. I know you have at least one more interview tonight you got to get to, so... Again, thank you. I will be listening, and I will hope you'll take a few minutes to listen to my podcast.
A few minutes? What are you talking about? A few days, a few hours. I'm on board, brother. Don't worry. And, of course, if your listeners want to check out Seventh Son, as always, they can visit jchutchins.net or audiobooks.com.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, and have a great evening.
Take it easy, brother. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
You first met him last summer in Jack Wakes Up, the world's first noir podcast novel.
It's a cold world and this is life.
And now, Seth Harwood, the writer of Jack Wakes Up, is bringing him back.
It's a cold world and this is life.
Yes, Jack Palms is coming back on the scene to shake it down this June 3rd in Jack Palms 2, This Is Life.
It's a cold world and this is life.
Available at SethHarwood.com. If you haven't heard it already, there's still time to check out Jack Wakes Up. SethHarwood.com.
With the passing of podcaster Joe Murphy, people have been asking a lot of questions. What is leiomyosarcoma? Is there treatment for this? A friend of mine just got diagnosed with cancer. Now what do I do? That's where Give Us a Minute comes in. Give Us a Minute is a podcast of hope. We invite you to share on this podcast your own trials and tests with cancer, to share memories of Joe and other loved ones, and to join a community that, with the help of Mason Rocket, will work together to combat this disease and find a cure. All proceeds raised by this podcast will go to benefit the Joe Murphy Memorial Fund in its ongoing battle against leiomyosarcoma. Subscribe at www.joemurphymemorialfund.org. And tell everyone you know. Give Us a Minute. For Joe. For all of us. For a cure.
The world is changed. I feel it in the internet. I smell it in the podosphere. Much that once was is lost. And good riddance.
Okay, enough of that melodramatic garbage. I'm Nina Kimberly the Merciless, star of the award-nominated podcast novel by Christiana Ellis. I am not a damsel in distress. I do not wear a chainmail bikini, and I do kill people. But you don't have to take my word for it. I also bully people into saying nice things about me.
Hi, this is Mer Lafferty from Geek Fu Action Grip. Nina Kimberly is a cross between Robin McKinley and Terry Pratchett. You've got a kick-ass heroine in situations that are absolutely bizarre and hysterical.
Hi, this is T. Morris, the Patio Books Moravi, The Chronicles of Rafe Nascana, and Billabub Battings in the Case of the Singing Sword.
I think the best way to describe Nina Kimberly the Merciless, it's The Princess Bride if Monty Python wrote it, because it features a dragon with big, sharp, pointy teeth.
Hi everyone, it's Evo Terra. As you may know, I'm not a big fan of fantasy. However, I truly enjoyed Nina Kimberly the Merciless. Funny, snarky, and action-packed. Oh, that all fantasy was written like this.
See? It's good. So why don't you go subscribe at patiobooks.com or at ninakimberly.com, and we can avoid any unfortunate misunderstandings. That's Nina Kimberly the Merciless by Christiana Ellis. Subscribe or die. Either way is fine with me.
Thanks, and again, later this week, hopefully by Thursday, you will hear Episode 1 of Murder at Avedon Hill. Take it easy, and I'll be talking at you later this week. You've been listening to a T-minus episode for Murder at Avedon Hill. Murder at Avedon Hill is a podcast novel written by P.G. Holyfield and read by the author. Thanks for listening. Please visit pgholyfield.com for more information on this novel and the author. Music in this podcast generously provided by Shira Common through magnatune.com. Magnatune.com. They are not evil. This podcast is copyright 2007 P.G. Holyfield and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 2.5 license.